The reading this evening is from Luke chapter 9, verse 21 to 27. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
Thank you, Amber. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to look at this challenging passage, I just pray that you will give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us. In the challenge, may we also be encouraged, Lord. Amen. You may find it handy to have the Bibles open at the reading as we have a look through it this evening. So my favourite Advent was the year that I lived in Denmark. The children that I nannied had several Advent calendars that they amassed in the days running up to the 1st of December, and I had none. And Thomas said to me, haven't you got any Advent calendars? And I said, "I think people think I'm too old." And he disappeared off and shut himself in his room for a couple of hours and came out and he'd made me an Advent calendar. Two pieces of A4 paper stuck on top of each other, 24 tiny doors, all numbered, all stuck down with a tiny bit of sellotape, each one with a tiny drawing behind it. I couldn't wait each morning to open the door to see what the drawing was. It was something that I loved to do. It was something special that this 11-year-old had taken that time to make it for me. But it was also something that reminded me that Christmas was coming. The celebration of Jesus' birth was approaching. So as well as the fun and joy of opening the door, it was a daily reminder to me of Jesus. But that was for only 24 days. What happens during the rest of the year? Do we daily take time to remember Jesus? Do we daily consciously choose to follow Jesus with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts? Now, this is probably a familiar passage to you. It's one of those passages that have verses in it that we all know. But I don't know about you, but I always find these verses aren't the easiest to understand. Talking about to gain a life, you have to lose a life, and that you have to take up your cross daily. What does all this mean for us today? Well, that's what we're going to look at this evening. The challenge of taking up our cross daily and what the consequences are of us not doing so. The passage is split into three parts, and I'm going to have a look at each of those. We start with the shocking news of what the Messiah must be, followed by what the disciples must be, and finally, why it's all worth it. Immediately before our passage, Jesus asks the disciples, who do they think he is? And Peter replies, God's Messiah. So if Peter is right, why does Jesus start our passage with the strict warning to the disciples not to tell anyone about what he's going to tell them? Well, this is the first time that Jesus clearly explains to the disciples that as the Son of Man, he must suffer and die. And this would have been shocking news to the disciples, those closest to Jesus. Imagine if he'd told it to other people, this shocking news. What would have happened if he'd been shared more widely? It would have made Jesus' ministry even more difficult. The Jews had clear expectations of who the Messiah was, and it wasn't someone like Jesus. There were those who saw Jesus as some kind of political or military leader who had come to save them from the Roman army. At this time, they just wouldn't understand who Jesus really was. But the time was right for Jesus to make clear to his disciples that this is what must happen. In verse 22, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. This must happen to Jesus, as was written in the scriptures. God's providential plan will be fulfilled by Jesus' death. And the use of the word "the" in our translation emphasizes in Greek the unity of these groups. Jesus wouldn't be rejected by some elders, some chief priests, some teachers of the law. He would be rejected completely by those groups. He would be rejected by all. But Jesus wouldn't just be rejected. He would also have to suffer many things. We know he was tortured and humiliated, and then ultimately was killed. It all feels doom and gloom, doesn't it? And look at the language here. Jesus must suffer. He must be rejected, must be killed. That all emphasizes that this is part of God's plan. But then comes the good news. After death, he will be raised to life on the third day. So after that shocking revelation, what does Jesus do next? Well, he goes on in verse 23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." This verse really struck me as I was preparing this sermon. He said to them all, not just the 12 disciples, but all. What is to come is for all, including you and me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. There's a huge amount in this verse, so I'm just going to take a moment to have a look at what it is in a bit more detail. Deny themselves. This is a whole being, a whole life thing. We're not called to deny or reject certain things in our lives, but in denying ourselves, it means we choose God's way rather than our own way. We choose to follow Jesus and his example of absolute obedience to the will of his Father. If we think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed to his Father, knowing he was going to his death. In Matthew chapter 26, he prayed, "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And later, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Jesus denied himself completely to follow his Father's will, and so we must do the same. It's a real challenge for us. I know it's a real challenge for me. There are things I like in my life, things I struggle with to give up, to be obedient to God, to follow his will. There are things I know I should, actually more than that, things I must give up if I'm really going to follow Jesus. It's easy, isn't it, to give something up for a while. But how many times do we drift back into old habits? Things we know we shouldn't do, but just can't help ourselves. Things like getting involved in gossip at work or even in church. Being angry and unforgiving. There are so many things I get wrong and mess up. So many times I forget that I don't want to follow the ways of the world. I don't want to get caught up in the material things of selfishness and being self-centered, but I actually want to follow Jesus and be obedient to him. And to do that, I need to deny myself. But what I love about this verse is it gives us help in how to do this, how to remember to deny ourselves, and that is to take up their cross daily and follow me. That really struck me when I was preparing this. The word "daily." This is something we have to do each and every day. It doesn't mean we have to physically carry a cross, but that we choose to follow Jesus each and every day. That we have to renew that promise, that commitment to Jesus daily. Following Jesus requires us to actively choose to live God's way, self-sacrifice in what we choose to do and how we choose to live. The way will not always be easy, but Jesus is always with us. So whilst the challenge is that we daily have to make this decision to choose to follow Jesus, in doing it daily means we might find it easier. If we have a bad day, we know we can try again and change the next day. For being a Christian is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week commitment. It isn't just something for Sundays. And so it's important to commit each day to Jesus. It's something to do at the start of every day in your prayer or quiet times. Can I encourage you or even challenge you over this Advent season to make a conscious decision every day to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Choose to follow his way and not the way of the world. That may involve making some hard decisions about what to do and what not to do. But as we will see shortly, it's all worth it. The passage goes on in verse 24. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this concept. In order to gain a life, I have to lose a life. But what does that mean? Well, verse 24 is building on the previous verse. So if we choose to deny ourselves, if we choose to follow Jesus, we have to give up the lives we had before we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We must turn our back on the things in this world and turn to Jesus. And what this means will be different for each of us. It might be things like how we spend our money, how we live our lives, the things we do, the things we say, how we are with people. Maybe we're selfish, maybe we're comfortable in our lives. We have nice homes, cars, all the latest gadgets. Not bad things in themselves, but things that may distract us from God and from following Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have all these things, but they shouldn't rule our lives. We need to think about how we are living. Are we living comfortable, self-centered lives? Lives that we don't really need God in? Or are we using what God has given us to bring him glory? If we want to follow Jesus, we need to lose our life, give up the material ways of the world and turn to God and to be obedient to his will. But why should we do that? Why would we want to give up the things in this life? Why would we maybe choose to live a life being obedient to God, a life that means we stop doing certain things, a life where we stop chasing material things, the next promotion, a bigger house, a better car, a fabulous holiday, when all these things give us joy in that moment or make us more comfortable in our everyday lives? It's a real challenge. Why would we ever choose the harder road that it is to be a Christian? Well, verse 25 has the answer. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Jesus gives us the promise of eternal life, the promise of life with no more pain or suffering, no more tears or death. Surely gaining the whole world and having more money than we could ever imagine is infinitely less valuable than our eternal destiny in relation to God. So the question is, why wouldn't we want to lose our old lives? If we accept and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life, why wouldn't we want to be obedient to him and choose to turn our backs on our old lives and follow him? Well, if we're still unsure, verse 26 is a stark reminder of what will happen if we choose not to follow Jesus. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Being ashamed of Jesus and the good news he proclaims means to deny any link with him. It's the opposite of acknowledging him as our Lord and Saviour. Me and my words. Jesus and what he says cannot be separated. If we believe in Jesus, we believe and trust in what he says. And that means we have to live a different way. But we also have to share the good news with others. Be open that we are Christians. How many of us are open about our faith to our family, our friends, our work colleagues, our friends at school? Many of you will know that I'm very open about my faith at work. I've recently moved jobs and so have the joy of sharing with my new colleagues that I'm a Christian. And whilst it's always a scary thought, will people judge me and decide they don't like me because I'm a Christian? Will people label me in a particular way because I've been open about my faith from the start? Well, once again, people have been accepted and interested in my faith. I've been asked, what does it mean to be a reader? People have shared that they have family members who are Christians. So my challenge to you is, if you haven't shared with people that you're a Christian, then can I encourage you to do so? Don't be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Because if we don't, if we are ashamed of Jesus and his words, Jesus will be ashamed of us. And the consequences of that are much greater. When Jesus comes in glory, when we are judged on the last day, Jesus will be ashamed of us. And that is a scary thought. Now, briefly, the final verse, Jesus tells the disciples that some of them will not have to wait until death before they see the kingdom of God. It's a strange bit at the end of the passage, but scholars agree this refers to some of the disciples, Peter, John and James, who will witness the transfiguration, which comes just after this reading in Luke. So have a look at that if you'd like to know more. So what does all this mean for us? This is a really challenging message for us this evening, that in following Jesus, we have to give up our current lives. We need to turn from worldly things, and that can be hard. It can be hard because we're comfortable. It can be hard because we struggle to see what we're doing wrong. How many of us think we do things for God? We're generous with our time, our money, we're friendly and welcoming, all good things. But do we always put God first? Do we rely on him completely and turn our back on everything else? Do we see God as our daily bread, someone we need every day in order to survive? Or do we use him more like an insurance policy, there for times of crisis, times when we need him? As I said, the word daily really struck me in this passage. That reminder that I will need him daily. And daily we must choose to follow him. Daily we must choose to be obedient to his will. Daily we choose to turn our back on this world and put God first. I know I struggle with this, and one of the great things that helps me is my daily Bible study. Giving the day to God at the start of each morning helps me at least start the day right with God at the heart of it. I put my hand in the hand of God, asking him to walk with me during the day. I don't always get it right, but I must say I find it really helpful to start the day in this way. As well as challenge, there's real encouragement in this passage. Why wouldn't I want to give it all up to follow Jesus? The promise he gives to all of us is the promise of eternal life in heaven with him. So yes, we may lose things in this life, but in return we gain Jesus. Jesus, who is the perfect role model for us to follow. Jesus, who was obedient to his Father, who physically took up his cross and turned his back on the world, suffering pain, humiliation, torture, and ultimately lost his life, all for us and for our sins, to offer us a share in his eternal kingdom. For all that, why wouldn't we want to turn and follow him? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your example of obedience, your willingness to physically take up your cross, your willingness to actually lose your life that we might have eternal life. Lord, this Advent season, help us to daily take up our cross and follow you. Daily commit to being obedient to you. Help us when we struggle to be open about you in our lives. Give us courage not to be ashamed of you or your word. Be with us in conversations, particularly with people who do not yet know you. Help us, Lord, to lose our lives in order to save our lives with you. Amen.